Grace and peace to you from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus the Christ. Amen. The story goes like this. A young man calls his mother and tells her that he is not going to church today. "Why not?" his mother asks. "Because I don't really like the people there, and I don't think they like me much either," he says. "Well," his mother says after a moment, "I think you'd better go anyway." "Why?" the son asks. "Two reasons," she replies. "First, it's Sunday. And second, you're the pastor." All right, I should probably quickly clarify that I've never, ever had that conversation with my parents or my wife or with one of my colleague pastors here. But I thought I'd share that story now because, pastor or not, many of us come to church pretty regularly for the first reason the mother gives, simply because it's Sunday. And on the whole, that's a really good thing. And yet, sometimes I wonder why. I mean, there are lots of other things that you could be doing this morning. You could be at home reading the paper, catching up on email, or spending a little downtime with family. You could have grabbed a cup of coffee at Starbucks with some friends or binged a little more on your favorite Netflix series. You could have gotten to the mall early before it gets crowded or just have slept in for a change, and yet you're here. Why? Now, before you answer, I want to suggest that the gospel reading we just heard a few moments ago, in that story of Jesus' transfiguration, St. Luke gives us his reason for coming to church, the reason he thinks it's actually really important that we come to church as often as possible and not just because it happens to be Sunday. Now, I'll be the first to admit that this story of Jesus' transfiguration is among the more confusing and complex that we'll hear this year. Jesus has taken three of his disciples up a mountain to pray when suddenly his clothes become dazzling white and his face radiates with glory. Not only that, but two of Israel's greatest heroes, Moses and Elijah, appear out of nowhere and start conferring with Jesus. Then a cloud covers everyone, and a voice booms out from heaven, and suddenly it's over. In some ways, this whole scene feels more like a Star Wars or X-Men movie than what we're used to hearing from the gospel. And we're not the only ones who are confused by all this. Luke tells us that Peter offers to build three dwelling places. Imagine something akin to an ice fishing shack. One each for Jesus, Moses, and Elijah. And if that sounds like kind of a strange offer, Luke seems to think so as well, as he says that Peter has no idea what he's talking about. In fact, while Peter is saying this, as in while he's babbling on in his confusion, that's when the cloud covers them, and the disciples are terrified, and the voice from heaven booms out, "This is my son, the chosen. Listen to him." Like I said, it's a pretty unusual scene, and you may be wondering what in the world it has to do with us coming to church on Sunday mornings. Well, three little details from Luke's story will help. First, what the voice from heaven says sounds a whole lot like what a similar voice said to Jesus at his baptism in a story we heard about a month and a half ago. In that scene, the voice from heaven calls to Jesus, "You are my son, my beloved. With you, I am well pleased." This time, though, the voice isn't talking to Jesus, but rather is addressing the disciples. And the last thing the heavenly voice says to them is that they should listen to Jesus. Now, what's a little bit funny about all this is that Jesus doesn't say anything to them, at least not at this moment in the story. And that's the second detail to pay attention to. I mean, why the command to listen if he's not speaking to them? I think the answer is that while Jesus speaks to them often and regularly in words, of course, he also speaks through his actions. And Jesus is just now right on the verge of traveling to Jerusalem and to the cross. Up until now, you see in Luke's story, Jesus has been teaching throughout Galilee, wandering here, there, and everywhere. But at the end of this chapter, Luke will say that he sets his face to go to Jerusalem, and nothing will deter him from that mission. That's actually what Moses and Elijah are talking about with Jesus, Luke says, his departure, all that he will accomplish in Jerusalem and through his cross. And what does Jesus say through his death there? Simply this, that God loves everyone. He's been saying this throughout his ministry, of course, through his preaching and teaching, and by feeding people and healing them and forgiving them as well. And while lots of people liked what Jesus said, others didn't, because they'd come to believe that God's love and favor were for some people, for sure, but definitely not for others. But Jesus kept saying it anyway. God loves, accepts, and forgives everyone. No exceptions. At this point of the story, Jesus knows that he needs now to take that message to Jerusalem, the capital city. And he knows that some of the people there will get so mad because of what he's saying that they will arrest him, try him, beat him, and crucify him, all in their attempt to silence this message. But God has other plans and will raise Jesus from the dead, so that we might know and believe that nothing can stop the message that God loves, accepts, and forgives everyone. No exceptions. But it's more than this, because that message is never generic, but always personal. That is, God doesn't just love, accept, and forgive people in general, but particular people, individual persons. And that starts with you. God loves, accepts, and forgives you. God promises to be with you and for you no matter what. God has hopes and dreams, plans and purposes for you. And God is committed to you and will stay with you through all the things of this life and even through death into new life. At the noon service today, we will invite our sixth graders to take communion for the first time. And whenever we have communion, we say some pretty important things. That we believe Jesus comes to us through the bread and wine. That in and through communion, we receive again God's promise of love and forgiveness. That as we share this meal, we are being knit together more fully as the body of Christ. So the communion service we're inviting our sixth graders to share today means a whole lot of things. But pretty much all of it, and for that matter, the whole of Jesus' gospel, is summed up in just two words said during that service: for you. We don't just say as we give the bread, that is, this is Christ's body, but add, given for you. And we don't simply affirm when we offer the wine, this is Christ's blood, but again add, shed for you. For you. The two words that remind us that in Jesus, God is with us and for us and will never give up on us. Why? Because as Jesus said and showed through his words and deeds, God loves and accepts and forgives all people. And that starts with you. No exceptions. So listen to him. All right, one third and final brief detail from this story. Luke begins his account of Jesus' transfiguration by making a connection to the story that happened just before it by saying, "Now, about 8 days after these things, Jesus took with him Peter and John and James and went up to a mountain to pray." 8 days. That's kind of interesting because when Mark, who writes the first gospel, tells this same story, he says that it happened 6 days later, and so does Matthew. But Luke says 8. Why? I think it's because by the time Luke writes his gospel, Christian worship is now taking place on Sunday mornings. And while we often think of Sunday as the first day of the week, the early Christians regularly described it as the eighth day. God created the world and all that is in it in a week of 7 days, you see. And then, the early Christians confessed, God recreated and redeemed all things on the eighth day, the day of Jesus' resurrection on Easter Sunday. And so Christians move their worship from Saturday Sabbath to Sunday morning, the first day of the week and the eighth day of God's creation. Luke, in other words, knows that while we're called to listen to Jesus every day, Sunday is the day we'll hear God speaking to us most clearly and personally about God's love for us and all the world. And that's why Luke thinks it's so important to come to church. Not just to see people you like and who like you, although I hope that's the case. Not just to hear such fantastic music, though I know that's the case, not even because it's a Sunday or because you're a pastor, but rather because on this day, the Lord's Day, we get to listen to Jesus as he tells us once again through word and deed that God loves, accepts, and forgives all people. And that starts with you, with us, and then grows to include everyone. No exceptions. Thanks be to God. Amen.